Blog Talk Radio.
Technical difficulties.
Welcome home, class. You've come a long way.
You've come a long way.
Mine damer og herrer, konger og dronninger, og alt det midt imellem. Velkommen til timen. I skal til at gøre noget, der vil forandre jeres liv for evigt.
Welcome back to another episode of Sports Talks 24/7. This is the very, very special March Madness episode. This is kind of an in-between episode that will feature in-between seasons 2 and 3. So this really has no place in any season. It's just more of a way to talk about March Madness because as we speak, the bracket is being unveiled and it seems to be close to done. Now, joining me as always is, of course, John. How you doing, John?
What's going on? I'm doing great.
All right, and Jordan. Can you hear me, Jordan?
I'm all right right now. What about you, Brandon?
I'm doing fantastic, and of course, Nick. Where is Nick?
I'm doing fantastic.
All right. Well, we know Nick is doing fantastic, but all right. So the bracket has basically been finished being unveiled. Now, let's talk about some of the teams that don't look like they're going to make it. So, John, what's like the big surprise team that is not making this tournament?
All right. Well, like you said, the bracket is still being announced. There are a few teams that have not been announced yet. But for me, there is a clear team that deserves to be in this tournament, and that's Murray State out of the Ohio Valley Conference. Now, Murray State did not win their conference tournament. They lost in the championship game on a buzzer beater to Belmont. However, this is a team that finished the season 27-5, including a 16-0 conference record, okay? If they don't deserve to get in, I mean, if they don't get in, I don't know who else should get in, because I'm looking at some teams like Indiana, Texas, UCLA, and that really shocks me that UCLA got in. So without a doubt, Murray State should have been in over those teams. And it really upsets me because I think the reason that those three teams are in, Indiana, UCLA, and Texas, are because they're big-name schools, they're traditional powers, and that's out there.
Yeah. Well, no, another team that you missed, Texas not as much as, say, Indiana, or not as much as, say, Indiana, UCLA. But another team that really made their self-reputation is Louisville. Ever since they lost Chris Jones, they're not the same team they were before. The fact that they're seeded, I'm not saying they shouldn't make the NCAA tournament, but the fact that they are a 4 seed is a joke. They're not a deep team at all. They don't have a strong bench. And like I said, the Chris Jones loss is huge. It's a bigger loss to their team than most other teams.
All right, so that's John and Nick's opinion. What about you, Jordan? What's the one team that really surprises you that they're not going to make this tournament?
Well, to be honest right now, I mean, the bracket is still being unveiled. There's, I think, three more spots that are left to be open. But as of right now, it looks like one team that will not be included in the field of 68 will be the University of Miami. And I think that's a little surprising when you compare it to some of the other teams, such as Indiana University and also Texas. I honestly thought playing in the ACC in the toughest conference, Miami had the toughest schedule out of all these teams, and they competed well, and they had some pretty impressive wins, including a big win against Duke on the road. So I saw Miami, I knew they were going to be on the bubble, but right now it looks like that's one of the biggest snubs so far.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they're going to make the tournament, unfortunately. Now, Nick, I know you're very ecstatic right now because St. John's did actually make the tournament. However,
they did make the tournament.
However, they do have to play the Duke Blue Devils, which is one of the toughest teams to play come tourney time.
Man,
so
why? Let me ask you a question. Why do you have to kill my joy?
That's just my job.
That my team finally made the NCAA tournament. Yeah, maybe I'll have to play Duke, but I'm still happy about it. I mean, listen, I know St. John's is not going to win it all, but as a fan, I love the excitement. But what frustrates me is that Cisco Beckler gets suspended. Of course, he has to get suspended right before the NCAA tournament. And all throughout the year, he could have been suspended. This is the time to get suspended. That really pisses me off. He's so essential to that team.
Yeah, I see your point. I see your point.
It's definitely an unfortunate time to be suspended. I agree with that.
He is the St. John's inside presence. Not to say that they don't have other players, because they do. But he is the inside presence. He's the fifth in shot blocking in the country. And great on defense. By far the best defender in St. John's. Probably the best rebounder, too. And like I said before, he is their inside presence. So I don't want to have to be relying on Joey De La Rosa, who you guys probably never even heard of, who is a complete joke down low. And that worries me. That really worries me if our starting center is going to be Joey De La Rosa.
Yeah, no, I see. All right, so let's go over the number one seeds. John, besides Kentucky, what number one seed do you think has the best chance of not reaching the Sweet 16?
Of not reaching the Sweet 16?
Of not reaching the Sweet 16. Besides Kentucky,
because they have
a really easy schedule.
So you don't think that Kentucky will make the Sweet 16? I don't know.
Well, no,
they will make the Sweet 16.
Okay.
Kentucky will definitely make
it. Near lock to make the Sweet 16. We're talking about number one seed.
Here's who I think has a chance of possibly not making it to the Sweet 16. I honestly think that Villanova, because they have a difficult second-round matchup. They play Lafayette first round. That'll easily be a win. But then they play the winner of NC State and LSU. And those are two teams that are full of great athletes. They have some very good players. You know, NC State made a nice run in the ACC tournament.
NC State is a great team.
And
they're great.
I could see Villanova tripping up against them. So that's my team that may not get to the Sweet 16.
John, I think you're totally right. I think NC State probably has, or even LSU, should LSU beat NC State, has the best chance of tripping up Villanova, because NC State shouldn't be ranked higher, but unfortunately they had like one of the top five toughest schedules in the entire country when you look back at it. So really they had played a lot of tough games, and they still beat some quality teams. They beat Duke in the regular season. They had all kinds of great close games with great opponents, and they're an 8 seed, and they really shouldn't be. So Villanova maybe losing to NC State wouldn't be as shocking as most people would think.
I think NC State, honestly, at number, what are they, number 8 or 9?
8 seed.
I think that's
a little bit of an overrank.
I know they had some very impressive wins. You know, they beat North Carolina, they beat Duke. They've had some great wins, but then again, if you look at some of their losses, they seem to be one of the most inconsistent teams in the country. For example, they lost, I know, to Boston College, who just had a dreadful season. So NC State, I wouldn't get ahead of ourselves saying that they're going to knock off Villanova, but, I mean, they certainly have a chance. I just think when you look at their overall combined resume, it's very hard to tell because they've been so inconsistent throughout the season.
Now let me ask you a question. Who are you taking, LSU or NC State?
That's very tough. I'd probably go with NC State.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because as of late, I love the way they've been playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's most important. I mean, you could look at UConn last season, and they won the American Athletic Conference Championship, and then they go all the way, and then they win the championship. So it's all about momentum at this point in the season. And that's something that NC State has.
I have my team that won't make the Sweet 16. I think has a good chance at not making the Sweet 16. The 5 seed West Virginia. I love their athleticism, but they're very high-risk team all the time, always. They're playing high-risk basketball. I understand they're very athletic and they're very good around the perimeter, great ball movement, but their jump shooting is awful. I mean, it can get awful at times. when you play that way. I mean, they don't even believe in passing cups. So I could really see West Virginia getting out early.
And also, West Virginia got a very tough draw in this tournament. If you look at their first-round matchup against a 12-seed Buffalo, Buffalo had was one of the teams that went under the radar. They had a very excellent record. And then in the second round, if they do advance, they'll have to play most likely Maryland, who has been basically a top-10 team for at least the past month and a half. Mm-hmm. They've been one of the best teams in the country throughout the whole season. So I definitely agree with you there. That's going to be a difficult road to the Sweet 16 for West Virginia.
Right. I agree with all of that stuff as well. Let's move on a little bit, though. Let's go instead from our opinions to some Vegas odds. Now, what do you think in the Final Four in Indianapolis, what do you think the number seed, the lowest number seed is going to be? What do you think the lowest number seed is?
The lowest seed.
The lowest seeding in the Final Four.
The Final Four?
In the Final Four, what do you think the lowest seed is going to be? Forget about what team it is. Worry about the number
team,
that's associated.
If I could pick a double-digit team right now that I think has the best chance of possibly advancing far in this tournament, I look at one team that looks like they've got some pretty good matchups would be Wyoming. In the first round, they're going to take on Northern Iowa, who, while they've been a ranked team and while they have a great record, I think their difficulty of schedule says a lot. They haven't had that many impressive wins, even though their record is off the charts. And then they'll have, if they do end up knocking off Northern Iowa, they'll take on Louisville, who has struggled a bit down the stretch. I know they had that big win against UVA, but they haven't been the same team. They've been a little injury plagued, and I think they could be vulnerable to be knocked off. And then if you're looking at overall the easiest conference, I mean, then they'll take on Villanova, who out of all the one seeds is probably, in my opinion, the weakest. So if that could be a surprising Cinderella team, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. So, John, what do you think the lowest number seed is? Forget about a team. We'll worry about Cinderellas in a minute. But just what do you think the low number is going to be?
Well, I really think this year the tournament is a very top-heavy tournament. You have a lot of good, I mean, they're all good teams in the tournament. But in recent years, the one seeds haven't been as dominating as this year. I think the 4-1 seeds are very good. All of them have a great chance of making it to the Final Four. I don't think all of them will, but I think the one seeds, the two seeds, and the three seeds. So I guess to answer your question, it would be a 3-seed. That'll be the lowest seed to make it to the Final Four.
Right. I agree with you. I think that there could be potentially a chance for a 5 or 6 seed to kind of just slip into the tournament. But really, this tournament is very top-heavy. You said it perfectly. Like, this tournament is going to be a real showcase of the powerhouse schools and just of the top programs. There's not going to be a ton of Cinderella stories because the teams that are up in the upper echelon of this bracket are just so powerful that you really don't have a chance of beating them.
Well, then again, I feel like that's the storyline basically every year. And, of course, we always have teams that come out of nowhere and just get hot at the right time. It's not necessarily the best team. It's not necessarily the ones and the twos and the threes. I mean, last year we had UConn versus Kentucky in the finals. I think they were both 7 or 8 seeds, so you know, when you look at this, obviously, it's tough to say, you know, that an upset will happen because of how good certain teams are. But, you know, whoever gets hot at the right time, that's the team that's going to advance the play.
Right. And then you have upsets of all the 2 seeds. I mean, last year you had Duke and lose to Mercer State. And then a few years ago, you also had Duke lose to Lehigh. And you've had plenty of just one-game upsets. You had FGCU make that incredible tournament run. You had so many stories where a high seed would fall to a low seed only for that low seed to fall the next time. So some of the top teams could be knocked out, but I don't really see a lot of Cinderella going on. Like, I don't see a team
I have a Cinderella team. I have a team.
Right, John,
so then
we'll move on to that. Who's your Cinderella?
Actually, this is the team that last year.
John, before you say who's your Cinderella is,
I would just like to say everybody who is listening right now should probably call in and tell us who you think your Cinderella team is, who you think has a really good chance of making the Final Four or Elite Eight or Sweet 16 or whatever it is, whether it's just because you're a fan of the team or whether it's because you got some real reasoning behind it. Just let us know, 347-884-8496, and tell us what you think. All right, so who is your Cinderella team?
All right, well, this is a team that last year did very well in the NCAA tournament, and I think they will do the same this year. They're an 11 seed. They have a play-in game. I'm talking about the Dayton Flyers. This is the team that's currently 25-8. They went 13-5 in the Atlantic 10. And I watched them play a few games this season. I really like the way that they played. You know, you could look at their schedule, and maybe they didn't have any wins that will, you know, really blow anyone away. But this is a team that has – they could rotate a lot of guys in and out, and they have experience too. They have guys that played in the tournament last year, and I think that they are better than an 11 seed, and definitely better than a play-in 11 seed. So I think they can make a nice little run.
All right. Absolutely. I support all your points. So, Jordan, who do you think your Cinderella team is going to be?
My Cinderella team, I mean, the bracket came out about 15 minutes ago. I don't know if I've looked at it enough to really pick out
I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm. We'll go to Nick. You can come back to me.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you right now. The bracket just came out. Very hard to say. Just a quick question. Did Arkansas make it?
Yes, and they should be taking on that Hartfield.
They're a five seed, and they play Wofford.
Wofford. Yes, they are five seed.
I have Arkansas as my Cinderella team for this.
Nick, do you know who they're playing in the second round?
Who they play in the second round?
If North Carolina can knock off Hartfield, that'll be the next round.
I have Arkansas beating North Carolina. I'm calling it now.
I have to strongly disagree with you.
Can I finish? Bobby Portis is one of the most under the radar players I've ever seen. I don't think he'll be that successful in the NBA, but as a college player, I love the way he can play. He's a big man, but you see him all around the court, very athletic. May not have the best post game, but very athletic. And I could really see, like, he's everywhere, all over the court. And I love Arkansas's athleticism. I love their passing cuts. I love the way they're coached. I can really see them making a big run.
Well, I think no disrespect to Arkansas, but right now North Carolina, you know, they went through a tough stretch towards the end of February, but right now they seem to be playing some of their best basketball of the season. They had a run to the championship in the ACC tournament. They knocked off UVA in the semifinals. And really, they were playing very well in that game against Notre Dame last night until about 8 or 9 minutes to go, and it's tough to blame them when it was their fourth game in four nights. So right now, UNC is playing some of their best basketball. They should have no difficulty knocking off Harvard in the first round, which should set up that matchup with Arkansas. And that would be a good matchup, but I just don't see Arkansas knocking off UNC.
Yeah, totally fair point. I don't see anybody really knocking off UNC until they reach a seed that's higher than them. I think UNC has a really, really strong chance of making it really far in this tournament. They have a pretty deep team. They have that kind of magic in them that can propel them to a Final Four berth. They're still very angry at the way they lost the ACC tournament to Notre Dame, and I think should they ever meet again in the NCAA tournament, UNC will beat Notre Dame down to the ground. All right.
And
I'm
also adding on that, I think just for this year, I think the way that the Tar Heels play is really going to help them. Sometimes teams that have the advantage at this time of the year are the teams that play the more up-tempo game. And at the same time, UNC is also one of the best rebounding teams and offensive rebounding teams in the country. And compared to other teams at this time of the year, you know, you lose one game and you're done. And for the teams that live and die by the three, that could really hurt them. Now, UNC playing to their strengths are going to push the ball. They're going to score in transition, and they're not necessarily going to settle for threes. And I really do think that's going to help them right now.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that point. All right. Speaking of brackets, by the way, to everybody who's listening, we actually made a bracket group on ESPN Tournament Challenge. And should any of you guys like to join it, you're more than welcome to. The username and password for the group is Sportsaholics. And you guys get to have the chance to compete with us and see how well you fare. And there could potentially be some prizes down the road for the person who gets the best bracket. And who knows? Check it out right after the show and go on and join. We'd love to have you guys. All right, so Final Four predictions. Anybody got an idea? Anybody looking at a bracket right now? What's going on through your minds? John, do you got something?
I have a little something. All right, so I'll start off with the obvious one first. I really can't see anyone disagreeing with this pick. The Kentucky Wildcats out of the Midwest region will end up in Indianapolis, I believe, without a doubt. I think they're the best team in the country, and they could finish if they win the national championship, undefeated season. Out of the East region, I like the 2-seed. I like the Virginia Cavaliers, a great defensive team. Again, we talked about the 1-seed in that region is Villanova, and they're one of the weaker, they're probably the weakest 1-seed in this tournament. So I think that Virginia will have to get through teams like Michigan State, Oklahoma, possibly Louisville, possibly Villanova. All those games are winnable out of the South. This is a tough one, but I really like Iowa State. I like George Niang. I think he is one of the top players in the country. Not a lot of people talk about him because he plays for a team that most people don't watch, and he doesn't play a very, I guess, sexy style of basketball. But I think that they're good, and I think Duke will struggle because they tend to do that in the tournament. Out of the West, this is a tough one, definitely. Like Jordan said, UNC is good, Arizona's good, but at the end of the day, like Wisconsin, I think Frank Kaminsky could be the best basketball player in college basketball right now.
So I don't know about that, but he's certainly up.
He's up there, but I don't have Wisconsin going to the Final Four.
All right,
let's hear yours.
On that note, who do you have going into the Final Four?
My Final Four is Kentucky. Hold on, I'm still deciding this for a second. Okay, I got it. Kentucky, Virginia, Oklahoma, and Arizona. That's my Final Four. I love those teams.
Right.
I love Buddy Hield. I can see very hot. I love Arizona. I have Arizona winning it all. I watched them last night. They slaughtered at Oregon. I love their game. I love their consistency. I love the way they're coached. I understand they're not the best. They're not exactly a shooting style team, but they're very good in transition, very good at attacking the basket, which would make a lot of teams struggle. And not to mention one of the best defensive teams in the country.
All right, fair enough. I mean, it was Oregon, but you have a good point. They absolutely demolished them. All right, so Jordan, who do you have going to the Final Four as it stands right now?
Well, at first glance, and obviously this could change before Tuesday when I finalize my bracket, out of the Midwest, you know, I'd have to agree with all of you. I think Kentucky is the obvious choice, but I will say this. If they do end up with a matchup against Notre Dame in the Elite Eight, that is going to be a very tough matchup for Kentucky, but ultimately I just think with their size down low and their balance in the backcourt, I just don't see anybody beating them until at least the Final Four. So I'll take Kentucky out of the Midwest. I think out of the East, honestly right now, I'm not confident in Villanova. And right now, Virginia seems to be the best team in this region. However, I'm going to go with a surprise team. I'm going to go with Michigan State, a 7-seed, because they will have a matchup with Virginia in the second round if they can hold off Georgia. And they've been playing very well recently. They knocked off Maryland in the semifinals. They advanced to the finals today against Wisconsin. I think they could be a real threat to Virginia. And if they do, their road is not that tough to the Final Four. So I'll take Michigan State out of the East. Moving on to the South, it kills me to make this pick, but I got to go with the number 1 seed Duke. I think right now, besides Kentucky, they're the most talented team in the conference, in all college basketball. with Julia Okafor down low, just completely dominant over the season. And then, you know, they got outside shooters, so he's Tyus Jones and other players. So I think Duke will advance out of the South. And the West, here comes my bias. I'm going to go with North Carolina. I think they should have I think they have a decent shot to get to the Sweet 16, which will set up a matchup with Wisconsin. And I'll go with my Tar Heels right there. So that'll be my Final Four.
All right. That sounds like a plan. I'm not going to say anything about my Final Four because I myself haven't even looked at the final bracket, but I will say that Kentucky's not making it into the Final Four. I got a really funny feeling. I got a really funny feeling that someone is going to take Ben down in the Elite Eight and is going to ruin their unbeaten season. I got a really funny feeling about that.
It would either be Maryland or West Virginia. You think either of those teams have a chance against Kentucky?
No, West Virginia's not making it.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe even Notre Dame, as you said earlier. All right.
I could see
now a little bit onto the show itself. So, again, as I stated in the beginning, that this is an intermission show between season 2 and season 3. Now, season 3 is currently still very much in progress. We're working hard. We're getting a lot of really cool stuff done for everybody who's listening right now. We got a lot of things coming down the pipeline really soon. We got more logos to unveil. We got a website coming down soon. Or we may have some interviews. We may have some video features. We just joined Instagram today. We have a lot of really cool stuff coming. And Sportsaholic Season 3 itself should probably start either next month or early May. So be on the lookout for that. Follow us on Twitter at sports_a_holics and keep up with the latest updates. And basically just be on the lookout because some really cool stuff is going to come at 7 o'clock right after the show is over. You're going to see everything that's happening until the start of season 3. You're going to get a good look at everything that we got. All right. So,
I know Jordan has something to say.
Yeah, Jordan has something to say, actually.
Well, I'll save what I have to say for the start of season 3, actually. So, well, not today.
All right, well, you know what? I actually have something else to say. I just want to give a shout-out to DJ Newbill, all right? Quick shout-out. This is a guy that came to Penn State when Penn State, you know, they don't have a great basketball program whatsoever. But he came to Penn State after 1 year at Southern Mississippi. While he transferred in the summer, his mother passed away. He came into Penn State, scored almost 2,000 points, leaves as the fourth leading scorer in program history. And what he was able to do in the Big Ten tournament was nothing short of incredible. They won 4 conference games the whole year. They end up beating Nebraska. They beat Iowa, who is a tournament team, and they almost beat Purdue. So just a shout-out to DJ Newbill. Best of luck in the NBA to him. Great story, great person, great basketball player.
You really think he's making it?
I do think he is making it. He is the leading scorer in the Power 5 conferences, and without a doubt, he is one of the best offensive players in the country.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. He'll make the NBA. He'll probably be a second-round pick.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be a first-round pick because
definitely
he plays at Penn State.
He's a little bit under the radar.
Yeah, he definitely is.
All right. So, shout-out to DJ Newbill. Shout-out to all the pair. I mean,
what else do we really have
to say here?
If I can add one thing. I know we haven't had a show since the start of NFL free agency, but shout-out to Mike McKagan for really rebuilding
Jets
team. You know, with John Idzik's mistake of not fixing up the secondary, the biggest, weakest, the weakest part of the Jets last season, McKagan goes out, gets Darrell Revis, Antonio Cromartie, Buster Screens, and Marcus Gilchrist. There's a huge shout-out there, and the Jets' defense looks really scary heading into the season.
Now, one of the best-looking defenses in the entire NFL right now. On paper, they just look too good to handle. I honestly think that they could end up being the best defense in the NFL if all goes according to plan.
I'm going to give a shout-out to Rhyshee Jordan, starting point guard on St. John's. I can see him having a really big tournament. Next year, I see him becoming one of the top point guards in the country. I love his all-around game. We'll see him making the NBA.
All right. That's about all the time we have on this show. We look forward to hearing everybody in Season 3. And be on the lookout because some cool stuff's coming your way right now.